This is Fam Electric Ghost, and we do podcast interviews with musicians from around the world. Today, we have symphonic electronic musician Matsumi from Germany, and we send her the questions ahead of time, and this is an audio-only podcast, so take a listen, and I know you'll enjoy it.
Hi. First of all, I would like to thank you for allowing me to introduce myself here on this podcast. I'm Matsumi, and this is my first interview I've ever given in spoken English. Please forgive my possibly strong German accent and pronunciation. I have no practice speaking English language sentences, but understand most English. I have been involved with music all my life, as far as I can remember. Music has been an important part of my whole life, and since early childhood, I have sung and sought my musical expression on various instruments that were available to me. The exact age I can't remember today from when it started. The fact is, I was very small.
How long have you been working on music?
Until the year 2000, I made music only for myself, but there was a desire for more. I had already developed my own style of singing, and my instruments were getting bigger and more expensive as time went on. I finally wanted to have my own song on CD, but I didn't have my own studio or any other way to make my wish come true. Nevertheless, one day I met someone who had a studio at that time. There I could record my song tracks, which were still recorded on floppy disk at that time, and have my vocals recorded to it. It was the vocals that the studio owner was interested in, because he knew a synth pop band that was looking for a background singer. I was asked if I would sing on one of their songs. They were producing a new album at that time. I agreed, they were enthusiastic, and so it happened that I was allowed to make my first stage experience in the course of the year 2000 and also in the following year. With my own music, I went only 3 years later in the public in form of amateur musician platforms on the internet where I published my own compositions.
So on this podcast, we like to have our audience listen to the music that is produced by the artist that we interview. And so we have a song here today that we can play from our artist, and we're going to get into that right now with Past and Present. And you'll get to hear that in its entirety. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
So that was Past and Present from Matsumi. And we did play the whole track. You can find it on Spotify. We have the link for you there. And we do like to have the music of the artist we interview presented. And it does have that symphonic sound. It does have that symphonic electronic sound. And it kind of reminds me of Vangelis. And I'm a big synth head myself. I kind of grew up in a new romantic new wave movement. Love Brian Eno, love Yes, love a lot of the bands like New Order, Depeche Mode, bands like that, Cure, anything like that. So yeah, I was very much impressed with this sound and we wanted to present it to you. So when did you realize you had a talent for music and start to consider writing your own material? Because a lot of musicians now become studio musicians or they work in background singers for other people's bands and stuff like you said, but it takes something to decide you want to write your own music. What made you want to write your own music?
Well, I've always done only my own songs. I didn't think anything of reproducing the songs of other artists. In 2003, I built my first small recording studio and bought my first synthesizer. When I realized that I had a talent for music, I never thought about it, I just did my own thing. But I was encouraged by the positive feedback I got about my singing style and the fact that I was put on the same level as artists like Lisa Gerrard or Lorena McKennitt. At that time, I knew neither the one nor the other. My singing style has developed independently on the influences of other artists. I can't even say exactly when it began. At some point, it was just like that. It was simply very well received and in demand. In the end, though, I still can't believe all the incredibly beautiful, appreciative responses I got to my music. For me, even after years, it is something that is not tangible for me, and yet I feel so infinitely grateful for the fact that I can reach people with what I do, can speak to them. Even later, when I published my own music on these amateur musician platforms, I was often asked if I could sing here and there for other musicians, so I did. My music itself was also very well received by the community back then, and that encouraged me again.
So who and what are your influences or reference points? I mean, who inspires you as a musician, or what in life inspired you to become a songwriter and have the style that you have?
The biggest influence was life itself on my music. I always referred to what I was created in my studio as a diary of my life set to music. In my formative years, I mainly listened to old hits. It wasn't until much later that I heard Vangelis and his grandiose works, by which time I had already found my musical style.
What would you say is your writing style or genre? I call my style expansive sound. To include multiple genres, it seems like you have multiple genres as part of your music as well.
I hardly know how to classify that. I think it's a mix of different genres and styles that come together in my music. There is a part of traditional electronic music, as well as world music and film scores, and in addition a partly Celtic, partly Oriental sounding vocals. Over the years, my music became more and more monumental. Orchestral elements like strings, choirs, horns have always been part of my music.
So what kind of workflow music process do you use, like a digital audio workstation like Pro Tools or Cubase or something like that?
For music production, I use Cubase. I never used anything else.
Do you use a home recording studio, or do you go to a traditional recording studio where you have to go to a third party place to actually put down things with a producer, stuff like that?
I've always produced everything at home in my own studio that I've built up over the years. While back then, in the early 2000s, I used a small corner of a room to set up my studio. Today I have a separate room for it. It was important to me to set up this room in such a way that it becomes a source of inspiration itself. I think in a way this has also affected the nature and character of my music. After all, as a musician, you sometimes spend countless hours at a stretch in the studio. So, at least for me, the ambience should also be right.
I also am a strong believer in doing home production because I capture my unique style of music. I pretty much created a bedroom studio because I can, you know, come up with ideas anytime of the day, and I just feel comfortable to have it right in my bedroom. So I'm part of that whole generation of bedroom producers because it's physically actually in my bedroom. So I totally get that you want that space, and then you can just feel comfortable, like you said, in creating a vibe for your music. I think that's really cool. Have you played where and when any live shows, and the date of your first shows or current shows you're doing? Because of the current pandemic, a lot of people aren't really touring, but maybe you have plans to tour in the future. And also, you know, just give us a little history on what you've done in the past.
In the year 2000 to 2001, I had my first stage experience as a background singer of aforementioned synth pop band. Years later, in July 2010, I should be on stage for the first time with my own music. I rarely gave concert, and the last one was in February 2014. And a little later, I went into a long musical break. I played mainly in Germany, where I was born, and once also in Holland. Currently, I have and had no gigs after 2014, just because of the break I took. But for the future, there are already gigs planned. Going live and meeting people from the audience afterwards is something special for me. Those are priceless moments that you live for a long time.
I do agree, playing live is a really awesome experience. I used to play in New York and Boston to small audiences, you know, 300 people, 200 people, even 100 people. But it's just that feedback you get from the crowd is nothing like it. I have been doing online festivals and things. We actually have one coming up February 11th through the 13th. Where we're having bands that we interview actually play live, and something maybe we could think about having you do that in the future, maybe in July. But yeah, it's really cool that you have some things planned for the coming year, and that's exciting because things are starting to get better for musicians, and it's cool that you had done it in the past, but now you're thinking forward and you will be playing live, and people should check you out wherever you're available. So, have you ever thought of collaborating with other artists in your genre or other genres?
There have been many collaborations with other artists in the past. I myself had guest musicians for my albums who played something here and there in individual songs. They were both from the same genre as me, but they were also artists from completely different genres. It was extremely exciting to experience how harmoniously the different genres can work together. I had a guitarist from the electronic music genre and a guitarist from the rock genre. I had a bass player who is usually more at home in jazz and funk, and a flutist who is more in pop. There were even two collaborative albums that I produced with other musicians who are part of my musical past. So I had produced and launched a whole album with the Danish artist Nutterfrost from the electronic music scene, and another album with Emerson Velasquez, which is more in the field of world music. Here and there I was myself a guest musician in songs by other artists and sometimes stood with them on stage. For the current album project, no guest musicians are planned, as it is pretty much my most personal album. Nevertheless, I'm collaborating with Emerson Velasquez this time as well. He will do the mixing and mastering of the new album, which I'm very happy about.
It's very exciting to hear about your new record, and we'd love to have you do another interview when you release that, so we could talk about each track and present it. That would be really cool. We tend to do that with artists. We have them come back on and do album release episodes or have discussions about every track, so we could do a similar thing with your next record, which is due to come out hopefully this year. So what are your thoughts about the future of music and your specific style of music to talk about?
Men will always need music, be it for entertainment, stress relief, in movies, etc. Music will always accompany us. What is subject to constant change is the way we consume music and through which media. Once it was the record, the magnetic tape, cassette, then the CD, downloads, MP3 players, to the streaming portals. And I think that music will continue to change just as it did in the past. Even the way of producing music changed over the decades due to constant development of technology and software. The possibilities of creating music and songs have changed over the decades. Today, theoretically, anyone can make music, even if you are not musically inclined. The question that concerns me is what value music has with people. Has it lost value? Is it still perceived as art at all? Or rather as a cheap consumer good that is available everywhere and quickly? As for my music or my style of music, I think that it will always be in demand, even if I am anything but mainstream with it. Or maybe exactly because of that. I think I have created something with my special style of musical expression, which may reach people in the deepest soul. My listeners and those who understand the message of my music can express it so much better than I can myself. I move musically in a niche. Maybe I never reached the masses with it, but that was never my claim. But I reach those who are willing to listen and understand, and there will still be in the future.
So this is kind of a controversial question, but like, what are your opinions of streaming services like Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, Tidal, all of these different services compared to when we used to be able to get vinyl and a CD or a tape cassette, or even when I grew up, 8-track? What do you think about it? You did talk about how the devaluation of music, or it's become some a common commodity. There are still people who collect rare vinyl, look for rare music, but most people seem to want to consume it like, you know, fast food. So yeah, I like your opinions on what you think about streaming and what it's done to the industry.
Actually, I'm not a fan of streaming or streaming portals. But that's the way of the times, and the habits of the listeners have adapted to it. If you don't move with the times, you move with the times and are forgotten. I myself grew up with records, cassettes, and later with CDs. But now I'm also confronted with, have to deal with streaming. Nevertheless, I continue to produce my CDs. CDs are something that streaming can never offer, I think. You have a nice booklet with text and pictures in it. As an artist, you are closer to the listener, even if not directly, but you can also express yourself artistically here, which ultimately creates a total work of art in sound, text, and image. What beautiful rituals can be associated with streaming? With the record, for example, you would carefully take it out of its sleeve, move any dust on it with a dust brush, and put it on a record player. Then the needle was carefully put on, it crackled, and soon the desired music began. Certainly, streaming has its advantages, and it allows you as an artist to reach every person in the farthest corner of this world, if there is internet there. Nevertheless, I see streaming rather critically. How much added value can you offer your listeners as an artist, and how much, for example, with a CD?
Yeah, I do agree that streaming has kind of devalued or made music such a a commodity that people look for, you know, music that's short. You get a lot of bands that, like, they can only put out things that are 2 minutes or under 3 minutes. You have to be on a playlist. People don't listen to entire projects. Growing up as a child of the 70s, I grew up with the Carpenters and the Beatles and the Stones, and you would take a record like Exile on Main Street, or you'd take Wish You Were Here from Pink Floyd and actually listen to the whole thing. And I think that's part of the benefit of a record or a CD, is that you listen to the entire artist message. And music to me is like sound paintings, it's like sound novels, sound movies, and the whole ambiance of being able to get pulled into something, and not that you're going to jump from one song to the next on a playlist. So I do agree with you that it's cool that you still sell CDs. I'm really into vinyl. I want to put out some Famelicker Ghost records on vinyl, because I think vinyl is even closer to people than like you said, you hear the crackling of the needle than even a CD, because either artwork is a lot bigger, the liner notes are more readable, it's more of a total art project when you work with artists and photographers. It just feels like an entire experience compared to just putting it something out on a stream. And we are by our final questions. How are you handling the new reality since Corona? Or maybe you don't think it's a new reality, you're just dealing with the consequences of the pandemic. What do you think about what's going on with music and musicians and how we have to handle this situation?
Critical. Very critical. I don't accept this as a new reality. Certainly not as mine. But I don't want to get political here. I will only say this much. I find developments that are perceived around me to be very alarming. It's going in the wrong direction. It feels wrong. Nevertheless, I have found the last 2 years very instructive. These 2 years have taught me a lot about people, and I have become aware of many things for which I'm ultimately grateful. Moreover, it became a source of inspiration. But in connection with the so-called new reality, I have seen so much suffering. It has been burned into my memory for all time. But it has become very hard for musicians who live from their music. Musicians once again have to be creative to find new sources of income. How many concerts were cancelled? For how many musicians are concerts one of the most important sources of income? For myself, it doesn't affect me because I rarely gave concerts anyway, and I never lived from this income. In many ways, this crisis caused damage. Damage that may never be repaired. But it is also a wake-up call and teaches us once again how important it is to have several pillars. There are so many endless possibilities.
So I wanted to thank our guest here for being on the program, because you know, symphonic electronic music is really, it's just super exciting to listen to something that's more you know, reminds me of the 70s. The music I hear from Matsumi is a lot like the stuff I grew up with, you know, 60s. I'm a 60s and 70s type of musician, love progressive rock, love jazz, love you know, synth wave, new wave, and I love the atmospheric quality and the whole you know, this the scene. Like, a lot of times with music like Matsumi's music, you feel they being put into like a movie. You feel like you're put into a soundscape. It's like a sound painting. So I encourage everybody to check out her entire catalog. We've got her link tree up, and please check it out. Please support the artists that we put up here. If they've got any kind of links for their merch or their albums, please download, favorite, subscribe, playlist. Thank you very much for being on the program. We appreciate it.
Newsly is an audio app for iOS and Android. This is Josephine Electric, the lead singer of Phantom Electric Ghost. And so Newsly, it picks up web articles about the most trending topics on the web at any given moment and reads them back to you in a natural human voice. So for the first time in history on the net, the web becomes listenable. So they have, you can browse articles and topics and choose what you want to have start playing, stop scrolling, start listening. They also have podcasts, as well as you can explore trending podcasts from 40 countries. Our podcast, The Fam Electric Ghost Show with Phantom, is over here too on Newsly. So download the Newsly app for free now at www.newsly.me. That's www.newsly.me. And use that link on the podcast, and you use promo code GHOST2021. That's GHOST2021, and receive 1 free month premium subscription. And when you're at it, listen to the Anchor podcast on Phantom Electric Ghost, where we interview independent artists from around the world, and you get to get a window behind the music of independent artists that you might not normally listen to. Thank you very much, and thank you for listening to Phantom Electric Ghost and Josephine Electric.